Take your Bible, please turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, and we'll read verses 7 through 11 together. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. We'll read this passage responsively. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for this great church and this great place. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Now, Father, please be with our preacher, fill him with your power. Our folks are tired. They're hungry spiritually. We're needy. And Father, we need you in a very unique way. Please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The passage of Scripture that we read together just a few moments ago, Psalm 19, and starting with verse 7, it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I just love to hear it. I love to read it. I love to preach it. Let me read it to you again. The Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. My whole eternity is based on the Word of God. My entire life, everything I do is based on the Word of God. And it ought to be that way for you as well. The Bible, you have holding right there in your hands, you have the Word of God. Boy, is it a precious book. Sir Walter Scott said, "There is but one book, the Bible." The Bible is the oldest book in existence. It took 16 centuries to write it. Do you realize that the first writer died 1,450 years before the last writer was born? There are 66 different books that we call the Bible. They have different people that held the pen while God led them to write what they would write. And these different men, they were from different countries, but there was not one contradiction in all of these pages. It's the best-selling book in all of history. People from all classes of society choose to read it, choose to believe it, and choose to love it. God's Word has been preserved. God's given us, in the English language, the King James Bible, is his preserved word, and it is the most hated book, by the way, of all history. There's never been a book that people hated like they hate the Bible. What in the world is wrong? Well, that's because the devil hates the Bible. The devil hates it. The devil hates what it stands for. The devil hates for who it stands. No wonder the devil works hard at getting people and cultures and even sour religions to hate the Bible. Heathen governments have tried to destroy the Bible. For instance, do you know that Hitler commanded that all the Bibles be burned? He might have thought that he could get rid of the influence of the Bible that way, but that is not true. Hitler could not get rid of the influence of the Bible, nor did he get rid of the printed page, because God promises he would provide for us every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. They have tried to outlaw the Bible. And you say, well, that is old. That was back when Hitler and the Nazis were in charge of that country. Well, wait a minute. It wasn't that many years ago that our public schools outlawed the Bible. They may no longer. And the Bible was very accepted in the public schools up until then. It was used like a textbook. They came along and said, you can't do that anymore. You're not allowed to have the Bible in the public school anymore. Oh, boy. And then you take the Pledge of Allegiance. They would like to see if they could figure out a way to take the words, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. They'd like to take that out of there. They'd like to take that out of there. Now, God help America if we cease to be one nation under God. Oh, you take this thing of the removal of the Ten Commandments from every public building in America. They're working very hard to do that. They would like to remove the Ten Commandments. I've got news for them. They can say, you can't have that in the public school. We're going to take one nation under God out of our pledge. Hitler can say, burn that thing. They can say, we're not going to have the Ten Commandments, but they're never going to get rid of the Word of God. They're not going to get rid of the Word of God. It's not going to happen. See, the devil, since he has been unable to remove this book's existence, he changed his tactics. He decided, he's a little bit got this attitude, if you can't beat him, join him. So what he'll do is he said, if I can't get rid of the book, I'll dilute the book. If I can't get rid of the book, I'll spoil its purity. And today they virtually have a Bible of the Month club. Every time you turn around, they're printing some other Bible, and they're trying to figure out a better way of saying what God said. I disagree with that. The devil started his own publication company, and he dilutes the Word of God, and he is now trying to spoil its purity by taking the words out of the Bible and moving them around and changing them around. God said what he meant in the first place and meant what he said, and we don't need to tamper with it. We've got his Bible. We've got a King James Bible, and hey, and let me tell you this. You know the Bible's always right. The Bible's always right. We don't have to debate whether God's right. God is always right. If I or anyone else ever says anything that is contrary to the Word of God, we're wrong. We're wrong. The Bible's right. The Bible's always right. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse number 4, it says, let God be true, but every man a liar. God has never lied, ever. He is all truth. With that in mind, I guess we better trust God with the words of God. We better trust God that wrote the book rather than trusting man and him rewording what God said. We don't need a reworded Bible. We need to live the old Bible that God gave us. As you read through the Bible, you'll find that it is called many different things. God refers to his word as a sword in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. He refers to his word as a hammer in Jeremiah 23:29. He refers to his word as the seed in 1 Peter 1:23. He refers to his word as a mirror that we can look into in James 1, verse 23, 24, and 25. He refers to his word as a fire in Jeremiah 23:29. He refers to his word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path in Psalm 119 verse 105. He refers to his word as milk in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse number 2. Oh, this book I'm talking to you about today, I get pretty excited about it because I have a book that has the answer to man's problems. Its preaching brings conviction according to Acts chapter 2 verse 14, and the whole story goes through verse 37 there in the book of Acts. The preaching of this book brings faith, Romans 10:17. The preaching of this book brings cleansing, according to 2 Corinthians 7:1. The preaching of this book brings assurance, according to 1 John 5:13, where the Bible says we can know that we're saved. This Bible, as we preach it, it brings comfort to our troubled lives, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. When you preach this book, it brings truth to our life. Acts chapter 7, verse number 11. When you preach this book, it creates a new birth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23. Oh, listen to this. It's the most important book anywhere in the universe, all the way to history past, all the way to history future. The Word of God is the prominent, bestseller, most important, most powerful, dependable book in history. It's more thorough than a medical guide to help heal all your spiritual health needs. It's more practical than the Chilton's Auto Repair Manual and will repair the broken down parts of your life. It'll help your life run smoothly. You'll have less breakdowns on life's highway. And the Chilton's Manual's great, but listen, you've got a book that is the Chilton's Manual to your life. It makes more information available to you than the World Wide Web, and there's no waiting period with which to contend. Its predictions about the seasons of your life will put the farmer's almanac to shame. Say, what's going to happen in the future? You can go to the almanac if you want to, but I've got the King James Bible. It's a better almanac than anything that's composed by man. It's the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse number 16, it says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. The prophet said, here I found the word of God and I gobbled it up. I ate it up. What he meant was I read it. I digested it. I thought about it. I let it become my nourishment. Now, why shouldn't we read it daily? I guess we should. Hey, why don't we read this book? Why don't we daily get into the Bible like we're supposed to? Why in the world would we not read a book that is a book of perfect predictions? Do you know that everything that God ever predicted or prophesied came to pass perfectly? Not an iota was late, not a second late. Everything he's ever said has come to pass perfectly. You don't need to call your psychic or your psychopath. Hey, just get in the Bible. And let the Bible predict what your future is going to be. This book is 100% dependable. You say, would you stake your life on it? I already have. Not only have I staked this life, but I've staked the life to come on a 100% sure, no flaw, no mistake, no, not a flaw at all in this book. I'm depending on it. It perfectly directs us. I have a book that perfectly directs my life. It solves my problems. It explains my heartaches, but we don't read it. What is wrong with us? The devil cannot destroy this printed Word of God. He will not destroy the influence of the Word of God. So what do? We don't let the Word of God influence us, and we don't read what's printed. It's the only way that the devil can stop it. You are the only one that can stop the Bible from influencing your life. The devil can't stop it. You have to do it on your own. Do you read the Bible? If you're a guest here today, if you've not already caught on, this is an old-fashioned Bible-believing church. We believe the Bible from cover to cover. I even believe the cover. It's a holy Bible. It's a holy Bible. And we need to read our Bibles. We need to read them daily. Everybody here, if you're a young Christian, an old Christian, you're to get into the Bible and you're to read it daily. I begin to ask myself, why in the world do we not read a book that has all the direction for life, solves our problems, helps us with our heartaches? Why don't we read it? I think I discovered some things that will help you, and it will help me. And listen, every Christian struggles with reading their Bible like they should. Everyone does. It's something the devil's going to try to hinder you from doing because he knows that the power of God and the solutions of God are available to you, so he's going to try to hinder you from getting into this book. So there's no doubt in my mind, every teenager here today, you need what I'm going to say. Every young married couple here, every senior citizen here today, every person under the sound of my voice, whether you've been saved for 1 hour or 100 years, you need what I'm going to preach today. Why don't we read our Bible? I'll tell you why. We don't read the Bible because we're ignorant of its power. We don't read it because we're ignorant of its power. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. How powerful? More powerful than anything. The power of the Word of God. You see, it was by His Word. He spoke the world into existence. Do you understand? When there was nothing, all God had to do was speak and it popped into existence. He could actually speak things into existence. God said, I'll take a sun, and bang, there was a sun. I'll take a moon, and bang, there was a moon. What stars? And he created some stars, and all he had to do was say, stars, and bang. Look right at me, folks. Bang, the stars came into existence. All God had to do was speak it into existence. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you had that kind of power? I would say, I want a medium cup of Dunkin' Donuts decaf. right now. And bang, it would happen. There's some words I'd never speak, like mother-in-law. I mean, the day God said it, he said, oh, let that slip out. He didn't have to worry about it. God doesn't have a mother-in-law. But he could speak, and it came into existence. You see, this book, it is his written word. If you've got the Bible there, hold it up for a second. Let me see it. You know, there's some churches wouldn't do this. You got you a Bible, you ought to thank God for that thing. Oh boy, what a book that you have in your hand. Do you understand? It is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the word of God that God used back when he was speaking this earth into existence. Do you understand how powerful that book is? You have the word of God in your hand. Hey, watch how you treat it. Hey, watch how you respect it. Hey, you ought to love that book. You ought to believe that book. And you ought to read that book. You ought to exalt that book. And you ought to lift it up in your life. Boy, the word of God. Respect it. Love it. Believe it. You know, that book right there can meet your needs. You came to church today and you say, Brother Owens, I need my needs met. I could meet your need this morning. I might be able to meet your need tonight as a human being. But let me tell you something. I can't go with you on Monday. And I can't go with you on Tuesday and solve your problems. I can't be there Wednesday morning when you wake up about 10 o'clock. I was looking over here at Brother Gewin. That's what made me think of that. I can't be with you on Thursday. I can't be with you on Friday. I can't be with you on Saturday. I would love to go everywhere you go and tell you what God says about everything that you face, but I can't go with you everywhere. But let me tell you, somebody who can, you can take this book right here everywhere you go, and you've got the problem-solving God right with you. And so, why do we not read it? I'll tell you why we don't read it. We are ignorant to its power. If you really believe that this book is what God says it is, you'd read it. You'd read it. Because you would realize the power that is in this book. Don't ignore the book of power. Why don't we read our Bibles? Why don't we read it? Let me tell you, number two, we don't read the Bible because we're too busy reading non-powerful writings. We don't read the Bible because we're too busy reading non-powerful writings. The Bible teaches that we are to feast on God's Word. We're to eat it up. Remember the verse that I read to you earlier? The Bible says in Jeremiah 15:16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Some of you that are miserable, everything about your life is miserable. Your marriage is miserable. Your finances are miserable. You're miserable at work. Get into your Bible. That'll change your attitude about everything. But we don't read the Bible because we're so busy reading non-powerful writings. We're to eat the Word of God up. We're to take it into ourselves. The Bible says it can be as sweet as honey. But listen to this. I was reading in the Old Testament. I found a verse. Isaiah chapter 44, verse number 20. The Bible says, He feedeth on ashes. The Bible says there was somebody in the Old Testament. They were virtually feeding themselves on ashes. Now, listen, I think that Hitler tried to burn all the Bibles. He would like to get rid of all of them. But I've got news for you. He's not going to get rid of the influence of the Bible. But the Bible says there was somebody who was actually feeding on ashes. I ask you a question today. Are you reading of this book that no man can burn and do away with? Or are you reading of things that are going to become ashes someday? The Bible says somebody feedeth upon ashes. I mean, can you imagine somebody that's actually taking into their body ashes, eating ashes? Some of you young married men are saying, oh, I've been doing that ever since I got married. I feedeth on the ashes, Brother Owens. Oh, no, but I mean spiritually. This Bible is your spiritual food. It is to be taken into you. You read it. You memorize it. You love it. You obey it. That is taking it into you, and it becomes your spiritual food. But wait, what are you feeding yourself? What are you taking into your spiritual self? I have a bowl of ashes here. Would anyone like a big, tasty mouthful? These are ashes. The Bible says we feed upon the ashes. Now, folks, let me remind you, the Word of God, it'll never be burnt. It'll never be done away with. It'll never become ashes to God. But there are a lot of other things out there that are ashes. And I think one of the reasons why we don't read the Bible is because we're too busy feeding on the ashes of this world. The words that are produced by men of this world on paper will all burn and turn to ashes someday. You know, there is no power in what we spend our time reading. You take the newspaper. I'm not against you reading the newspaper, but the question is, are you reading your Bible? There are some of you, you'll pick that newspaper up every day of your life and you'll read it, but you won't pick your Bible up every day of your life. You say, well, I've got to keep abreast on what's going on in this world. If you want to know what's going on in this world, pick up the newspaper printed by God and read the real news. It's the good news. Oh, the newspapers are full of so much trash today, so much negative, they're just ashes. We feed upon the ashes of this world. Again, I'm not against somebody reading the newspaper. I'm glad for you to do it. It's full of negative. They usually only tell you what's wrong with everything, what's wrong with everybody. They need to put a page in there instead of about the obituaries about everybody that's alive. I mean, depressing. They tell you about everybody that was robbed. Why don't we tell about everybody that was honest? We tell about all the divorces that were filed for. Why don't they print that Dr. Don Smith is celebrating his 50th anniversary this month? We ought to print the positive, but we try to always find the negative. And we feed upon the ashes. That's what we feed on. The reason why we don't read our Bibles is because our belly is full of the ashes of this world. The TV Guide. There's some of you spend more time in the TV Guide than you do your Bible. I should have had you bring your TV Guides and say, all right, everybody, hold your TV Guide in the sky. What do you have there? Oh, yeah, you've got your Guide to Hollywood. Hey, respect it and love it and lift it up and read it and live by it. There's some of you that do. There's actually somebody in here that'll make a decision about whether or not they'll come to church based on what Hollywood is showing on the hell box. Well, I can't go to church. My favorite show's on. You better be careful that you're not feeding on the ashes. There are people that feed on the ashes of this world. Why is it we don't read our Bible? We're feeding on the ashes. I didn't get a chance, but I was going to see if Aaron Chris would lend me some of his romance novels. He's a big Danielle Steele fan. By the way, I can only pick on Aaron because I know he doesn't. There's some of you, if I said that about you, you'd storm out because you do read that trash. You feed upon the ashes. Women, men alike, will sit down and read some romance novel about somebody that's not married having a physical relationship for hours and entertain their mind with that kind of trash. Then they won't read their Bible. They'll read their Bible for 3 minutes maybe, and then they'll read all that garbage all day long. We have our magazines of today, 17. Sports Illustrated. By the way, Sports Illustrated has turned into nothing but a thing that promotes sex. And you think that's funny? There are people actually laughing about that. Sports Illustrated has turned into a magazine about sex. You won't laugh long when you hear me preach like this. I don't understand that. GQ. I don't know what it stands for, but generally queer. Stuff, the National Enquirer. We're more faithful to reading what we like than what God wants us to read. I'm not against you having some sports magazine, but I'll tell you this. Some of you women, let me tell you why your husband's going to cheat on you someday. Because you entertain him with Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. She looks far better than you do, hon. Let me tell you why your wife probably cheated on you. Because she looked at naked men in all the sports magazines long enough, she finally went out and tried to get her a good one. We feed on the ashes. You think that's funny? I don't see anything funny about it.
I'd like to figure out what, hey, let's find out what kind of ashes you eat on, and let's see what shape your life's in. Let's see what shape your kids are in. Let's see what shape your marriage and your family's in. We feed upon the ashes, and then we don't stay in our Bibles. We're more faithful to reading the newspaper than we are to reading about God and what God wants. Family Bibles today can be passed down from generation to generation because they're just barely used. Used to be you pass the family Bible down, all the pages were worn, they were falling out. They're all marked up in red. I'd like to see your family Bible. Hey, so some of you that are in your 50s, 60s, I'd like to see a family Bible that you're going to pass down to your kids and grandkids. Okay, can you even find it? Why? I left it right by the TV guide. We read our email religiously, but not our Bibles. We feed upon ashes. That's our problem. Hey, I'm not against us reading. I think you ought to be a reader. I think you ought to read every good, decent, wholesome thing you can get your hands on. I have no problem with that. The only thing is, the most decent, the most good, the most wholesome thing is the Bible, and we won't take the time to read it. Why don't we read our Bibles? I'll tell you why. We're ignorant of its power. Why won't we read our Bibles? Because we're too busy reading non-powerful writings. We're feeding on the ashes of what man produces. Why don't we read our Bibles? Because we don't read our Bibles. Oh, stay with me now. You say you repeated yourself. Yes, I did, but listen carefully. We don't read the Bible because we don't read the Bible. See, reading the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Which is true in your life? Are you reading the Bible? It is therefore helping you to stay away from sin. Or are you sinning and it is therefore keeping you away from reading the Bible? Which is true about you right now? Every young person in here, if you go to a public school, I think you ought to carry your Bible to school with you every day. And every adult in here, I think you ought to take your Bible to work with you every day and let everybody know where you stand. So they won't let me. They can't stop you from having a Bible. I would never. You better hope God doesn't deny you like you deny Him. I believe that book right there. I believe in it. It's a powerful book. It's a powerful book. It's the book that God gave us. The Bible says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you. You know what happens to us? We don't read our Bible. As a result of it, we end up in a mess. We end up with our life messed up. And so, because you don't read your Bible, you don't read your Bible. Because not reading your Bible allows sin to creep into your life. And when sin gets into your life, your iniquity separates you from you and your God. The more you're around God, the more you'll want to be around Him. The more you're in church, the more you'll want to be in church. The more you read the Bible, the more you'll want to read the Bible. And reading your Bible will strengthen your desire to read the Bible. I said we don't read the Bible because we don't read the Bible. I'll guarantee you, though, that if you'll read it, you'll want to read it. If you'll read it, you'll want to read it. If you'll obey it, you'll find out it's worth obeying. I challenge you by faith to obey the Word of God. Now, I just don't see it that way. You don't see it God's way? Then you're wrong. The reason you don't read your Bible a lot is because you don't read your Bible a little. You're going to have to read a little before you read it a lot. Isaiah 59:2, it says, our iniquities have separated us. It's like chocolate, ladies. The more you get, the more you want. I'll never understand the connection. But my wife said, honey, it's true. Women really have to have chocolate to survive. I didn't realize it, but you can just mention chocolate. Ladies, really, I like chocolate, but it's not that important. But it's, there's some things you taste a little, you want a little bit more. I had some turtle cheesecake on August the 10th on my birthday. I had one piece. I said, I'm gonna have one piece and that's it, because I'm watching my belt size, which is directly connected to my pant size, which is connected to my waist size, which is connected to my mouth for some reason. So I'm going to have one piece of that. And so we were celebrating my son's marriage, and we were back in Indiana, and so we got this cheesecake, and my wife, we were in the hotel. I had a piece of cheesecake because I was only going to have one. She went to sleep. And that's all the story I'm going to tell you. We'll leave the rest to your imagination. Hey, the Bible's that way. The Bible's better than cheesecake. Will you get you a piece of it? You're going to want a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. It is refreshing. It is. If anything in this world satisfies, it will satisfy some of your needs. And then it'll help you to be unsatisfied with some things. It'll help you to be unsatisfied. Why? There's some of you're way too satisfied with your Christianity. Read the Bible, you'll get unsatisfied. You realize there's more. We're not just playing church. We're not just supposed to go by the church every once in a while and say, hey, God, nice to see you today. Maybe I'll see you in a week or two. No, you're supposed to show up at church. You'll be active, a part of the church and what's going on at the church. Why don't we read this book? I'll tell you why. We're ignorant of its power. I'll tell you why. We're too busy feeding on the ashes of that's created by man. Why don't we read the Bible? We don't read the Bible because we don't read the Bible. Not reading it causes us to get further away from Him, so we read it even less. Why don't we read the Bible? Because it doesn't include our interests. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 10, it says, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their own heart, and walk after other gods to serve them. What happens? We have somehow have this idea the only thing we're supposed to do is what we like. What interests us. The way I see it. But, you know, this book doesn't include all of the world's interests. It does not include your interests necessarily. Well, I just don't have anything in common with you, Brother Owens. Probably not. I like to go soul winning. I like to read the Bible. I like truth and honesty and morality and purity and old-fashioned ways. You say, we just don't have anything in common. I'm sorry. You want to know how to pull a marriage together? Get this book in common.
Amen.
We just don't have anything in common. If you were both in your Bible, you could have. If you both lived God's way, you could have.
Amen.
If both of you got a burden for the souls of men, got your eyes off yourself, you could pull your marriage together. No, you don't have anything in common. You don't spend every day trying to please God and going to His book and going to His interests.
Amen.
This book includes His interests. You say it lacks flavor. No, it lacks filth. This book does not lack flavor. Not at all. It lacks filth. It lacks worldliness. It lacks a connection to this globe. That's what it lacks. You say, Brother Owens, it just doesn't contain my interest. There's no pictures. Oh, Brother Owens, there's no sports page. There are people in here, you read sports page more than you read your Bible. What's your God? You hear about the blonde that was in the Olympics? It's a he, ladies. You like that? He got so excited about winning a gold medal for his swimming, he went out and had it bronzed. Read the Bible. Why? Well, it doesn't contain our interests. There's no TV gossip session or section. We've got to read about who's married to who for the fifth time. Who was seen at that some Hollywood ball with half her clothes off with who. We got to have that, you know, if there's not something to tell me about what's happening in this world, I don't have time to read it. There's no stock market report. There's no lewd, immodest pictures. You know what? There's no Victoria's Secret portion of the Bible. Why would we want to look at it? No way for us to get rich, so why should we look at it? No music ratings for our rock, our rap, and our country music stars. You know, God did not write the Bible according to your desire. He wrote it according to His. And you know what's supposed to happen? Our desire is to change to His desire. Why don't we read it? Oh, we're too busy feeding on ashes. I'm not against you reading certain things. Now, a bunch of those things I just read, I'm against reading. Because it's filth. His desire for you is better than your desire for yourself. He wrote the book to guide you and to direct you. And if you say, well, I just don't desire it, then you need to change what you desire. You know, if the Bible were worldly, some of you'd read it all the time. You say, well, if there was a Victoria's Secret portion of the Bible, I'd go to the Bible all the time. Yeah, you would. If it had a TV guide in it, I would do it. If it had a sports page, I would do it. And I'm not against sports. I'm against people letting it become their God. They're people, the only thing they're mad at me about is sports. Seems like you find something better to get mad at me about. If the Bible were worldly enough, we'd just eat it up. But because it is spiritual and holy and pure, we throw it on the side and we'll feed on ashes. We'll feed on ashes. Why don't we read our Bible? I'll tell you why. We don't see the great importance of its power. Why don't we read our Bible? Because we're too busy reading non-powerful writings. Why don't we read our Bible? Because we don't read the Bible. We don't have the energy and spiritual strength that we need to read the Bible. Why don't we read the Bible? Because it does not include our interests. Why don't we read the Bible? Well, some don't read the Bible because the devil makes them believe that it's only for certain people in certain times. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. Some people think it's just this novel little book that you refer to every once in a while. You know, certain times in life. It's just it's a book that you pull out whenever you might just happen to need it. Revelation chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and 10, it says, "The voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. I went, and the angel said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." I don't know what part of the Bible that is, but I'll guarantee you, whatever that book was, it was in heaven, so it was God's writing. It wasn't writing by man. So here, I'm saying to you, we don't read the Bible because it's only for certain times. Now here, we see God's Word can both be bitter and sweet. If you listen to that passage of Scripture, it said, in my mouth, it was sweet. In my belly, once I digested it, it became a little bit bitter. Somehow we get to thinking that, well, the Bible, it's only for those unique little sweet times in our life, like at a wedding. Well, that would be a sweet time for the Bible, by the way. It is. The Bible ought to be included in a wedding. You know, marriage was the family and a man and a wife. That's an institution that God set out. God said, I'm for marriage. We were at my son's wedding, and they had never held hands. They were both virgin, clean. They kissed for the very first time when they walked down the aisle. Lady came to me and she said, this is the first time in 20 or 30 years I've been to a wedding ceremony instead of a party for two people that were already sleeping together and living together. She said, I didn't think they still had marriages like this. Think about it. Most of the time you're throwing a little party for people that are already shacking up, already sleeping together, already taking all the liberties. We just throw a little party to make it, you know, legal in everybody's eyes. So, you know, you could bring the Bible into a time like that. That's sweet. Bible ought to be in every marriage. Oh, the birth of a baby. Let's read some Scripture. That's a sweet time. So we get this idea, the Bible, you don't have to read it, you don't have to live it, not all the time. We'll just interject it into our life a little bit here and a little bit there. Sometimes it's sweet, sometimes it's bitter. How about this? The Bible is for bitter times. If somebody gets thrown in jail, let's get the Bible to them. How about we get the Bible to them before they get thrown in jail? Well, but you know, if they're in the Bible, they need the Word of God. You need the Word of God whether you're in jail or not. You're bound to the flesh, and you need the spiritual strength to overcome your captor. Sickness. Well, when somebody's sick, that's a bitter time, you know. So we got to get the Word of God to them. How about we ingest the Word of God when we're healthy?
Brother Bush the other day went to the doctor. The doctor said, Brother Bush, I think you're sick. Brother Bush said, well, I want a second opinion. The doctor said, well, okay, I think you're ugly too.
Oh, the Word of God. Hey, it's only for the sweet times of life. No, it is not. It's an everyday book. We're to read it every day. We're to live it every day. We're to promote it every day. It's to help us make our everyday decisions. No, but it's just for the sweet times. Or it's just for the bitter times. It's the Word of God, that's for when we're dying. Well, just so you all know, we are all in the process of dying. Oh, the Word of God, it's for the funeral. There ought to be a daily death of yourself. Every day you ought to wake up and re-crucify yourself and make sure Jesus Christ is living through you and the old you is not rising up. Well, Brother Owen, it's for the time of war. It's not just for war. There's always a spiritual battle going on in our lives. The Bible, Brother Owen, that's for old people. Believe me, there are people who believe this. There are people who actually think, well, you pull the Bible out when somebody's sick. You pull the Bible out when somebody's in jail. Oh, let's interject the Bible into a wedding or the birth of a child. Something sweet or something better. But everyday life? Absolutely. Everyday life. That's only for old people. Now, the Bible, it's only for the children. Oh, when the children sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, we all say, oh, isn't that sweet? Well, I've got news for you. Every adult in here needs to sing that song. Oh, the Bible, yes, that's a book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. Oh, Brother Owens, that's a wonderful children's song. That's a wonderful song for little boys and girls. I've got news for you. The Bible, that's the book for me. That's for every adult in here. Every married person, every single person, every teenager, every senior saint, that book right there is for every last one of us, every day of our life. I think one thing that people dislike about me is because I teach that that is a true book. All your life you come in contact with people that believe you piddle in the Bible. No, you don't piddle with God. You don't piddle in the Bible. You live it. That book from cover to cover is the Word of God, and we are to live it every day of our life from the time we get up till the time we lie down. We're to live that book. Literally, live the book. You have some preachers that play religion. I'm not playing. God wrote the book. He gave it to us. He said we're to live by what the book says. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're to live it. We're to live it. Oh, no, Brother Owens, it's only for certain people. It's for sentimental times. It's to correct bad people. Yes, it is. And you be bad, and me be bad. We all be bad, babe. Yes, it is to correct bad people. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We all need the correction. Well, it's for all people all the time. Why don't we read it? I'll tell you why we don't read it. We don't read the Bible because we're ignorant of its power. We don't read it because we're too busy feeding on ashes. We don't read it because we don't take the time to read it. We don't read it because it doesn't include our interests. We don't read it because the devil makes us believe it's only for certain times and certain occasions, and that is not true. Everybody is to live every day by that book. We don't read it because it's too true. We're coming to a landing strip here. We're going to land this baby in a second, but let me tell you something. We don't read it because we don't like the truth that's in it. We don't like the truth that the Bible tells about me and tells about you. Remember Revelation chapter 10, verse 8 through 10? It's both bitter and it's sweet. It's sweet. It's very sweet when it's obeyed. It gets a little bitter when it's disobeyed. We don't like the truth that the Bible gives us about death. We mention death at our church because it is real. Some people say, I don't want to go to church. I'll be reminded that I have to die someday. Boy, if I were you, I'd want to know that I'm going to die someday. I wouldn't want to try to live oblivious of it. You might want to get ready. Are you a part of the character generation in this world that doesn't prepare at all for anything? Just hang loose and let it happen. We die and go to hell that way. We don't like the truth of death. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Whether you like it or not, you're going to die, and whether you like it or not, you'll face God. Well, I don't believe that. Won't matter. You're still going to face Him. Your disbelief won't change the God of the universe. Oh, no, Brother Owens, it's true. It's too true. We don't like the truth about telling the truth. You know, you're not supposed to be a liar. You're not supposed to be a liar. You're supposed to tell the truth. On Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, when it's convenient, when it's inconvenient, you're supposed to tell the truth. So hard. The truth about marriage. You're supposed to get married and stay married. We don't like that. The truth about purity. You understand? You're supposed to stay pure. You young people, you're supposed to stay pure till you get married. Well, that's uncommon in this world. I don't care what's common in this world. I care what's common in the Bible. The Bible makes it very clear. You're to be pure until you get married. Now, you say, Brother Owens, I've already messed up. Then be pure from here on out. From here on out, you decide to be pure. Hear about the blonde mother? Her daughter was pregnant. She said to her daughter, oh, don't worry. Maybe it's somebody else's. And way too many people hope it just belongs to somebody else today. The Bible's truth, the truth about loyalty, the truth about gossip, the truth about stealing, the truth about stealing the tithe. You know, the Bible says there's a curse on people that steal the tithe. A curse. Remember, I didn't write the book. I just preach it. People do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. People reject the Bible because it contradicts them. Let me say it again. People do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. People reject the Bible because the Bible contradicts them. They would have to change their life to match the book, and they're not willing to. They think they know better than God. Why don't we read it? It's too true. Earlier I told you it's like a mirror. We don't want to look in the mirror. We think if we ignore it, maybe if we ignore our sin will go away. Try that with cancer. Better yet, try it with the IRS. They're calling and writing. I think if I ignore them, they'll just go away. They kill you faster than cancer will. It's true about separation from the world. We don't want to hear about it. It's true. Hey, did you know men and women are supposed to be different? The unisex movement in America is at an all-time high. I watched a little bit of Olympics the other day. I seen women that look so much like men, it's gross. Men and women are not supposed to look alike. Did you know that? You have to be careful. I don't whistle at people going up the street. But if I did, I'd want to see the front before I whistled at the back anymore. We have men that have become so feminine, it's pathetic. We have women that have become so masculine. We don't like the truth. That's why we won't read the book of truth. People don't like the truth about heaven and hell. There is a heaven, there is a hell. If you don't get born again by Jesus Christ the Savior, you'll die and go to hell. Why? I'm offended. if I can think of a better way to say it, I will. But the truth is, there's a heaven and there's a hell, and if you don't get born again, you have to go to that hell. That's the way God says it. It's truth. Why don't we read our Bibles? There's a lot of reasons why. If you're not born again, you need to get saved, and some of what I've preached today will make sense to you, could change your life. I call this sermon The Bible or Ashes. The Bible or Ashes. Again, read the newspaper. Go for it. Read sports magazines. It's okay. They're the right kind. They're full of filth. You should stay away from it because it's wrong. But here's the main thing I need you to understand. You're going to be reading that book every day. Read it and then live it. Read it and live it. What you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. And you will either read the Bible and keep sin out of your life, or the sin in your life will keep the Bible out of your life. Which is it for you? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.